From the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 13, and then chapter 19. And as I mentioned this morning, I want to speak on the subject, when politicians trivialize hell. When politicians trivialize hell. Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, and verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Turning then to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and verse 41. And the reference here is to our Lord Jesus entering into the city of Jerusalem, coming to the hour of his death. And verse 41 says, And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. But now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him, and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. Shall we pray together? Father, we ask that thy presence may be intensified tonight in this meeting place, and that we might be conscious that these words are not the words of man, but the words that have proceeded from the mouth of God. And thy word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of the Lord liveth and abideth forever. When the words of men will fall to the ground and perish, thy word shall continue forever. And O God, we pray tonight that we might have ears to hear, faith to believe, and a heart that will obey God's precious word. Draw near to each one of us, Lord, and grant that we'll be conscious that thou art here. And if there be any among us who are not yet saved, who are not right with God, who are not prepared for death and eternity and the judgment day, we pray that this night they may hasten to the cross and hasten to the Christ of the cross and find in him that full and perfect salvation which he has purchased with his own precious blood. Bless thy word, we pray. We ask in the Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen. It seems today socially acceptable to reduce biblical doctrine to a superficial level, a trivial level. Biblical revelation is considered as an acceptable subject for mockery, ridicule, and jest. Solemn and serious doctrinal matters are handled with a spirit of contempt, and when it appears to be without consequence, it seems very quickly to become the norm. I am, of course, referring to a phrase that has been much in the headlines in recent days and in recent years: a special place in hell. And that phrase has been used in context of political debate regarding Brexit, regarding recently the border poll. And if we go back a couple of years, it was used in relation to a presidential election campaign in the United States. And the person who made that statement then, a former Secretary of State, realized her mistake, and she apologized for making it. But I have no intention tonight to address the political context in which the comment has been used, but rather to address this habit, this practice that seems to be coming socially acceptable in Western society, to relegate the doctrine of hell to a trivial level. I have a simple message. As a minister of Christ, with the authority of God, stop trivializing hell. Hands off what God has revealed in His Word. Cease to trivialize what the Bible reveals as a most solemn doctrine. When you hear politicians speaking in this vain and light-hearted manner, does it not raise the question? Does it not raise the question when they refer to hell in such a trivial way that they think that their political grouping, their political ideology, can determine the eternal destiny of the people who don't hold or espouse their political opinion? And I think when you stop to consider that, it raises the question, if they think that they can so determine the eternal destiny of their opponents, what will they not do? What will they not do if they gain power in the country? You stop to think about that. When a political group, a political ideology thinks that it can determine the eternal destiny of someone who takes a different political view, will there be any restraints to their actions in the here and now, in the present? But that's just by the way. When the biblical doctrine of hell is reduced to a trivial level, it suggests that eternity is determined by political beliefs and political affiliations. And the Bible answer to that is simple: it is not. Hell existed long before any political party. It existed long before any political ideology. It existed long before the European Union was formed. It existed long before the United Kingdom was formed. And it will exist long after the political kingdoms of this world have evaporated into nothingness. Hell and the eternal destiny of any individual is not determined by political belief or political ideology. The trivializing of hell is nothing other than the mockery and the contempt of Jesus Christ Himself. And we've got to be absolutely clear about that. We stand upon the position that it is unacceptable to trivialize the doctrine of hell. It is unacceptable for any political group to take such a serious, solemn subject as hell and try and make that to be a weapon for their own advancement. It is unacceptable. Because the trivializing of hell is nothing other than contempt for Jesus Christ. The biblical doctrine of hell did not originate with the church. It did not originate with the apostles of the New Testament church. It finds its origin exclusively in the person of Jesus Christ. No mere man, no mere mortal, no mere human being would ever dare to invent such a solemn doctrine. Jesus Christ is the person responsible for the doctrine of hell. And when he walked upon this earth, he taught beyond any shadow of a doubt of its reality and its existence. It is the evidence of his deity and the fact that he alone knows the future, and he has chosen to reveal to the sons of men that beyond death there is a place called hell. There is a solemn reality of the existence of hell. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus said to those who were gathered on that occasion, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Jesus Christ taught the reality of hell, and the origin of hell can be found only in Jesus Christ. He is responsible for this doctrine. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 22, the Lord told his audience on that occasion of the rich man who died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Hell is after death. And no human being, no mere man, is able to tell what happens after death. But remember that Jesus Christ is more than a man. He is a man. His humanity is a real humanity. But he is more than a man. He is the God-man. He is God manifest in flesh. He knows all things. He is the creator of all things. And he has rolled back the veil that separates time from eternity. And he has shown to us in his word that beyond death, after death, there is a place called hell. And it is a place of torment, a place of punishment. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46, he said, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment." Jesus Christ taught the existence of hell, the reality of hell after death, the reality of eternal perdition. And if men oppose the doctrine of eternal perdition, if they oppose the reality of hell, then they set themselves in direct opposition and in conflict to Jesus Christ. That is why this is a subject that must not, cannot be trivialized. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one alone who is responsible for this solemn truth. But he also taught that hell is not determined by political belief. It's not determined by a person's nationality. Not determined by the particular ideology, political ideology, that he or she might espouse, but rather hell is determined by the transgression of God's moral law. Turn to Matthew chapter 25 and let us read together these words which the Lord Jesus spoke on that occasion. And these words were spoken in the context of the great day of judgment, when all nations shall be gathered before the King of Glory, the Judge of all the earth. Verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And you'll notice these are nations of men. And those nations have their own political entities, their own form of political government. And all nations are gathered before Him. And on that day the Lord will separate the nations of men, one from the other. What will make the difference? What will make the dividing line? Whether a man hailed to democracy or didn't, whether a man hailed to one political ideology or didn't, no. What will make the difference is whether that man or that woman is righteous in the sight of God. He will gather together His people. In verse 33, He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. And those who are sheep are referred to as the righteous, who are blessed of God, who have entered into salvation. Verse 37, then shall the righteous, notice the distinction, whereas those who are on the left, those who are described as the goats, are described as the wicked, as those who are not righteous. Verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Notice the word punishment. For that is the description that Christ gives to the place called hell. It is not corrective. It is not designed to rehabilitate fallen man. The purpose of hell is punitive. It was created by God in order to be the place where divine justice will be administered against the breach of His law, where His moral law has been broken and transgressed. It will surely be punished. These shall go away into everlasting punishment. And that punishment bears relation to the moral law, the administration of divine justice, where that law has been breached and transgressed. And remember that law reflects the nature of God, and it binds every human being to its observance. And where that law is broken, there will be sure punishment. Hell is the place where evil receives its just reward, where the recompense of justice is administered. This world is an unjust place. The Bible describes this world as an evil world, this present evil world. It is the place where evil appears to reign, and where it seems as if evil is not punished. It is not met with its just recompense. But there is a place in this universe where evil will receive its just reward. These shall go away into everlasting punishment. And when you consider what the Lord is saying, what the Lord is teaching, He is making it clear that eternal perdition and the place called hell and the eternal destiny of the souls of men in that place, it's not determined by political belief. Let's bring it into our own context. Whether you take nationalism or unionism. A man will not be in hell because he's a nationalist or because he's a unionist. The only reason a person will be in hell is because they have transgressed the moral law of God. And if in the pursuit of their political ideology and the promotion of that political identity, they have transgressed the moral law, then they will receive the punishment for that transgression. It's not political belief, it's not political ideology. Now, if that political ideology is advanced by oppression and tyranny and murder and deceit and theft, which has been the case so many times in the history of mankind, then those matters, those areas, are the breach of the moral law. And divine justice will be administered in the place called hell upon those transgressions that have not been pardoned or washed away by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Did you notice in the reading tonight in Luke's Gospel chapter 13 that the Lord made reference to a certain grouping of people, the Galileans? And the Galileans belonged to one region. And there were others who belonged to different regions. Pilate belonged to a different region. Pilate was the representative of the Roman Empire. The Galileans belonged to the kingdom of Israel. But you'll notice what Jesus said. He did not make a difference according to political background or belief. He said on this occasion, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Whether a person espoused the political entity of the kingdom of Israel, or a person espoused the entity of the Roman Empire, Jesus said, "Ye shall all likewise perish if you're found in breach of the moral law." Hell is a real place, revealed to us by the Lord Jesus, and revealed to us as the place where divine justice is administered upon the breach of the moral law, not determined by political entity or nationality or political ideology. But the Lord Jesus went further in his revelation and his teaching upon the doctrine of hell. He taught that eternal perdition can only be escaped by a new birth that results in repentance and faith in him. Except ye repent. And in that little phrase is the great hope of salvation for the world. For man has sinned. Man has broken the moral law. Man is worthy of eternal perdition. But the Lord Jesus, in speaking those words, reveals the great hope of the gospel, the hope of salvation, that those who deserve hell, who deserve everlasting punishment, can escape, can be delivered, can be saved. Turn to John chapter 3, perhaps the most well-known verse in all the Bible. John chapter 3 and verse 16. But let's read some of the verses before and afterwards. Verse number 14, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life," eternal life. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Notice how he emphasizes it again. Should not perish. Oh, the hope of the gospel, the hope of salvation. There is a way of escape from that place called hell, that men and women should not go there. And what is that way of escape? It is through Christ. It is by believing in him, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And why is it that a sinner who has broken God's law, who deserves eternal punishment, why is it that he should escape? Why is it that he should be released? Because he who is the Son of God became the Son of Man. And he became man in order that he might take the place of sinners and receive the punishment of their sin upon the cross. This is a text that brings us to Calvary. That brings us to that old hillside in the shape of a skull, where the Lord Jesus was lifted up between heaven and earth. In that place called Calvary became hell on earth. Oh, I know that men use that phrase flippantly, hell on earth. But there has only ever been one place where hell has been on earth, and that was at the cross. That was on the middle tree, when the Son of God gave himself as the substitute, as the ransom, the redeemer. And he suffered the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. We must not trivialize hell, because the Lord Jesus experienced the wrath of hell upon the cross, in order that we might escape, that we might be set free. And it's only by faith in him, by that simple faith that believes that he is the Son of God, and that he took our place upon the cross and died for our sins. It is only by faith in him that a sinner can escape the everlasting fire. And look at that word that Jesus uses on this occasion, that whosoever, whosoever. That reiterates the fact that as hell is not determined by political belief, so too the salvation of a sinner who deserves hell is not restricted by political belief. And I can flip the coin the other side. Whatever a person's political belief may be, in the context of this country, whether nationalist in his outlook or unionist in his outlook, whether for Brexit or against it, if that person exercises faith in Jesus Christ, believing that he is the Son of God and that he died upon the cross for his sin, that person shall not perish. That person shall not perish. The great need in the heart of every individual is a saving faith in Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus taught this solemn truth, the existence, the reality of the existence of hell. He taught hell as the place where the transgression of God's law is punished, not determined by political belief, but by the transgression of God's law. But he also revealed the great hope of salvation, that he came and took our place upon the cross and received the punishment of our sins, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But let me add one final thought. Jesus Christ contemplated the eternal perdition of man with greatest solemnity and the deepest sorrow. Luke's Gospel chapter 19 and verse 41. The Lord, drawing near to the city of Jerusalem, knowing that they were going to despise and reject him, and they would crucify him upon a cross of shame. And when he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it. He was looking upon men and women who were going to perish. If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. He beheld men and women who were going to perish, and he wept. Thereby indicating that when he contemplated the eternal perdition of men and women, he did so with the greatest solemnity and the deepest sorrow. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse number 11 corresponds to this event. Ezekiel 33 and verse 11, the Lord says, "As I live, saith the Lord, say unto them," let them hear this, let them know this, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? I have no pleasure, but rather the thought broke the heart of the Son of God. And when he beheld the city, he wept over the sight of lost men journeying to eternal ruin. Jesus Christ did not trivialize the subject of hell. No laughing matter. No trivial matter, no trite matter, but rather the subject of the greatest solemnity and the deepest sorrow. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 29 declares these words, "Oh, that they were wise. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." When I hear the subject of hell trivialized in the way in which it has been in recent days, it makes me shudder. Because men and women don't realize what they're talking about. They don't realize the significance and the eternal consequence of this. Hell is real. Whether a person believes or not doesn't matter. Doesn't change the fact of its existence. Hell is real. And the Bible exhorts man, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." Because it doesn't matter what side of the political fence men are found on, if they're not saved,
they're going to perish in the same hell. Doesn't matter. They will perish in the same hell forevermore, for all eternity. Oh, that they would consider their latter end. Have you considered your latter end tonight? And that's a reference to eternity. The fact that you will live as long as God lives. That you will live in eternity. And if you're not saved, you will be in an eternal hell. An eternal hell. It will never end. Have you considered your latter end? Oh, that tonight you would heed the word of God. Repent of your sin. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. Flee to that cross. And there you will find the remedy. You will find salvation. And you will find the only escape from God's hell. And it's offered to whosoever will come. May the Lord help you tonight. May the Lord give you grace. May we cease from trivializing this most solemn of all matters. And may we realize what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is saying to us. Let's turn in closing to the hymn 289.